bring grace to you and peace from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is from Luke chapter 10, and as we come to this word, let's bow our hearts and heads in prayer. You send, and they go. 72 went out, 72 came back, and in the meantime, Satan fell from heaven like lightning. 2,000 years hence, you send us, we go out. May the same outcome prevail. May your gospel have free reign in our free land. And may sin, death, and the devil fall like lightning. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a hopeful text. I want you to realize that. Even though in the midst of it we hear about Tyre and Sidon and Chorazin and Bethsaida, we hear about Sodom and Gomorrah, it is a hopeful text. There is judgment thundering in the background, but Jesus sends out the 72, not for the sake of judgment, but for the sake of redemption. When Jesus sends out these 72, he's not sending out the 12 disciples, soon to be apostles. He's not sending out the three super apostles, Peter, James, and John. He's sending out what you have the sense may be the entire band of his followers at the time. He sends them all and says, go and do the ministry that will mark the church till the end of time. He sends them out. And therefore, it is not a stretch for us to understand he sends us as well. You can't fake the 72, nor can you fake the 140 that are in this room this morning. We are called to go wherever it is that we go. And as we go, to realize that the harvest is still great, the workers are painfully few, but we have a kingdom message that we can lean on. This is a hopeful text because the Lord does the sending. But this is also a hopeful text because the content of their ministry itself is hope-giving. The 72 went out in Luke chapter 10 as it's recorded, and they did not have the content of Luke chapter 24. They did not have the death of Jesus, the atoning sacrifice for sin. They did not have the resurrection of Jesus miraculously from the grave. They didn't have the ascension of Jesus. They didn't have the Pentecost of Jesus. They didn't have any of the supernatural miraculous stuff which the end of the gospel gives to the church so that we may be energized to go out and do miraculous things on his behalf. The only thing that they had was a couple good miracles and some very insightful, inspiring teaching by the master. When Jesus sent them out and said, now you go ahead of me into all the towns and let them know that the kingdom of God is near, what were they actually to say? Not anything that we are not able to say with equal ease and accessibility. Particularly, there is a God. Everybody realizes that, right? They will say to the towns that they enter. And this God has a different set of standards by which we are to live, right? Everybody understands that. And because the kingdom of heaven has drawn near in Jesus, we are inspired to go out and call men and women and children back to God. The standards of righteousness that heaven holds are standards that these 72 are equipped to speak of. The hope being, when people hear of those standards, they will respond. It's amazing to me when I'm at a sidebar, literally and typically at the sidebar of a wedding reception, and sometimes with my collar on, I'm not sure if you've had this experience yet, Jacob, but it's coming, I guarantee this. And I'll be standing there, and they realize, the guests, that I'm a pastor, And one of them, typically somewhat overserved at this stage, comes up to me and we get into a big theological discussion of something. I see the pastors in the room right now nodding at me in agreement. And of course, I will, you know, just hang in there for the conversation. And it typically goes something like this. Well, you know, I haven't been to church forever. Oh, okay, well, great, and that's fine. You know, no, there's little judgment, just a little bit, but you'll get there. So where is this gonna go? And we get to talking, and then they share something about something. Either it might be a dark secret or something they're struggling with or a family whatnot. It could be all over the place. But by the time we get done with the conversation, I'm not going all Jesus freak on them. I'm just saying, well, you seem to recognize there's a God. What are you going to do differently now because of this conversation, if you can remember it tomorrow? And at that point in the conversation, a cool veil comes over us, and the distance begins to increase. You see, when the 72 go out, it's easy to get agreement that God is. And it's easy to get agreement, yeah, God is, and God expects us to live a certain way. It's completely different for people to receive the news that God's kingdom has drawn near and actually want to do something about it. And that's what's bubbling underneath this text. It's so painfully close to being received as a valid message and acted upon. And yet finally Jesus says, if you go in, you announce this, they know better, but they don't receive you, then go and wipe the dust off your feet and pray. Pray that God will find another way to overcome the judgment that's coming toward them. This is essentially the ministry of the church. If I could hope for anything from Concordia, after I leave in 4 weeks, this is it. That in every conversation you have, no matter how painfully uncomfortable it is, that you could give some general recognition that there is a God, because it's not a stretch for people to say yes to that. Most everybody in our American land believes there is something and someone more beyond that has some claim upon their life. Something. And then to invite people to do that one word that Scripture puts at the end of that assertion. Well, if you know better, then let's turn your life around. Let's repent and make a small step back to God. That's the hope of this text. It isn't rocket science. You don't have to be a Christian theological scholar with all the right Jesus speak in order to start that conversation. The 72, remember, they didn't have the death and resurrection of Jesus, his ascension. They didn't have any of that. They were just sent out to say, hey, there's a God. He has a demand on our life. You want to do anything differently with your life? Boom. It's done. But there's another bit of hope. That whole conversation, as general and unchristian as it is, particularly unchristian as it is ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is backed by his credit worthiness. It is underwritten by the fact that he is coming to a day when he will cancel out all human sinful debt, objectively speaking. And by faith, he will invite people to dip into that treasure trove of spiritual regeneration and come fully home to God. The confidence that these 72 had was this, is that when they went and when they invited people to turn back to the demands that God in his holiness has for his humanity, general as it is, was that Jesus, the one who is the shepherd of the church, the one who forgives sin, reconciles back to the Father, he particularly was the one doing the sending. In other words, They weren't doing this just to form some kind of religious society. They were doing this because they knew at heart the God that wanted this ministry to happen was a God who was merciful and kind, loving and gracious, and who revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ to such an extent that Jesus could say in our text, if they accept you, they accept me. If they reject you, they reject me. And if they accept or reject me, they are doing that for my God and Father in heaven. It's a domino effect of faith. This is not hard. It doesn't have to be hard. You don't have to go door to door anymore. You just have to speak with those who are already inside the house behind the doors that you share with them. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a hopeful text. It's hopeful because in this text is demonstrated the ministry of the gospel that has driven the church for its entire history. It's a ministry that is led not primarily by pastors, but a ministry equipped by pastors, teachers, but accomplished through the word of the flock, the activity of God's people. This is the ministry of the church. And so as we get ready for a departure of another staff member, namely me, it's okay. Pastors come and go, teachers come and go. Our hearts are filled with love while we are here, and they are filled with longing to return once we are gone. We have a shared history. But we don't put our confidence in any one person. We put our confidence in the Lord that sends the 72 and sends all of you as well. This is the Lord who does the ministry with the confidence that heaven is our home. And while we may spend the next several decades apart from one another, I'll see you in heaven, maybe a little bit beforehand, once or twice as well. But our confidence is that our God and Father is the God who leads. And I hope, in the absence of me, in the absence of all that have gone before me as pastors and teachers in this congregation, you would show yourself to have the medal of ministry that Jesus Christ deems to be the perfect expression of the church. 72 going out, 72 coming back, and the master of sin, death, that is the devil, falling like lightning